Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome again. Welcome again. You with Fresno residents. Tell it like it is with Mayor Candidate Harris here on the show tonight. We are coming live to talk about important issues tonight. Just want to give a shout out to each and every one across the country, all the freedom fighters, all the political prisoners, all of those who are on the front line trying to make things better in this society. We're just happy to be on the air again tonight with your host, the one and only, better known as Reverend Harris, civil rights leader. But right now we're going to be talking about candidate Mayor Harris. How do you like that? So anyway, we're not going to be on the air long tonight. A lot of interesting things happening across the country. I was just told, or I was just briefed by my team, that there was a warming center that is open up here in Fresno. Can you believe it? A warming center, 77 beds is what I'm told that warming center holds. And I'm told that they're at their capacity right now. So there's a great need for those who need shelter. So we just want to give a shout out to Eddie, Sharon, who is on the line right now. Thank you for tuning in. Coy, thank you for tuning in tonight. Not going to hold you long tonight. It's been a long day for me. And I just want to make sure that we check in with you with a show. Please call in to 516-387-1474, 516-387-1474. It's time to get involved. It's time to get off the sideline. It's time for us to start taking back our community. It's time for us to start being more aggressive here in our community. It's time for us to take what's ours right now. And so, you know, in saying that, you know, we just went through the holidays, first of January 7th, 2020. A lot of people have New Year resolutions or what have you. I don't know. I guess it's good or bad, whatever you want to say it. But, you know, like I said, me, I just, you know, I do it moving. I keep it moving. I'm not a person of excuses. I'm a person of action. Those of you who know me, I just think right now, black people in Fresno, we're in trouble. We're in trouble right now. We have no political power. We cannot elect no black person in office just with the black folks that we have here, because we are the minority here in Fresno. We have a lot of division in our community right now for different reasons, religion, different philosophies. And I'm not saying that everybody should agree on everything, but to at least have a consensus on have a consensus about some things that, you know, we can work on as a people. But, you know, saying that moving forward, we just at a space right now where we have to build coalitions, we have to build partnerships with other ethnic people to we have to build give me 1 second here. I asked this person earlier did they have the number to the show, and they told me they did, and so now they're calling me. Now I'm on a show, so I'm just texting them the number right now. Just bear with me 1 second here. I'm going to make sure we be inclusive with everyone here tonight. But anyway, I'd like for you all to call in. I don't know if people are scared to call in or what the deal is. But please call in. Please call into the show. This is your show. Okay, this is your show. And it's just all to it. It's your show. And, you know, we keep it real. I keep it 100. Sometimes we all agree and sometimes we all disagree. But hopefully that sister will call into the show because she has a very, very important something she wants to tell everybody, something that's going on in the courts with her son, which I've been following the case for quite some time. But I don't know. It just seems like when it comes to black people here in Fresno, it's hard for us to get attorneys to do pro bono work. But I don't know. We just have to keep it moving. Hey, Coach Harris, thank you for tuning in. It's Coach Harris at Edison High School. Appreciate you, brother, what you're doing for our children over there at Edison High School. So, moving forward, those of you know that I am running for mayor of Fresno. Been in Fresno for 49 years. For those of you who want to call in to 516-387-1474, 516-387-1474, don't be scared to call in. Call in. Say hello. Hello. Hello there, Mayor Harris. How you doing? I mean, do something. Okay. But anyway, been in Fresno 49 years, been doing civil rights work for over 30-something years here locally and across the country. And, you know, really there's nothing new in Fresno that surprises me as a black man. I've seen everything from corruption from City Hall to Operation Rezone to police brutality to racism at Fresno Unified School District to recalling school board members to, you know, just the list just goes on. And whatever, you know, you think of something bad, you know, you can think of Fresno. I mean, we're second in the nation for the highest concentration of poverty. So, hey, bing, we're on top. We have the worst air, across the country. Bing, we're at the top again. We talk about the environmental racism that West Fresno has to deal with each and every day with the Darling Rendering Plant that's cooking dead animals each and every day that we have to breathe as a people in West Fresno, all of our students at Edison Computech, all of our feeder schools, Bethune, Sunset, Lincoln, Columbia, and not let alone talk about all the churches that's around the area. All of us have to be breathing those dead animals that's being cooked each and every day. Ding, you have something else that's bad. And so, you know, I've just gotten to the point, you know, I've marched, I have protest, I have, you know, did visuals, I have whatever you can think I've done to try to bring quality of life to West Fresno and Fresno in general, and it's just not happening. It's just not happening. And so, you know, I decided, my team decided that, you know, we're going to run for the mayor's seat. We have nothing to lose. We have everything to gain. You know, people know me. People know my heart. I love people, but I'm going to keep it real, and I'm going to keep it 100. I am not a politician, and I don't ever want to be a politician. I want to be a servant for the people. And that's who I am. That's where I will be until the day I get in my casket is a servant. I don't want to be ever be in a category of a politician because I feel that, you know, I can't be bought. I don't have a clearance tag. I don't have, you know, a 2-for-1 or anything like that. And so, you know, it just comes to the point right now where, you know, the quality of life is not equal in Fresno, you know, Alan Autry ran on the tales of two cities. He ran on the tales of two cities, the haves and the haves nots. And so, you know, it's just interesting to me how, you know, we sit here and we just keep, having to, what's the word for lack of better words? We keep having to be treated like a second class citizen. We have to be, our community has to be treated with no respect. And so, you know, our thing is that, you know, we want to have a conversation. You know, that's why we're running for mayor. We want to have a conversation. We want to talk about some issues, you know. I was talking to you about this warming center. And it's interesting how the warming center all of a sudden pops up right during election time. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have a warming center. And then I believe our former chief Dyer was there, and I believe I seen him speaking on a picture at the podium. And then it came to me, I said, now, it's interesting how when he was the chief of police, that he was the main one with orders of the mayor, city manager, to go and destroy all the homeless or houseless people who did not have anything, the most vulnerable people. He was out there with sanitation, you know, supporting demolition, poor people's homes, which was cardboard boxes, which was the last of what, you know, anybody would could have. And he did it. Yeah, I mean, he was there. We had a face-off with the city hall. All the encampments were torn down here in Fresno. And, you know, and let me give some context of what I'm saying, because some of you may not know about the history of the fight between the grassroots community and city hall. And so what happened was Alan Autry, who was, you know, the heat of the night, he played Bubba. A lot of you may not know, he's from Riverdale. And, you know, he came in and was the mayor, and he was the one who started tearing down all of the homeless encampments here in Fresno. And Cynthia Sterling, our beloved Cynthia Sterling, who was a black sister, was on the city council at that time. And I kept telling her, Cynthia, you cannot tear down and destroy the, you know, people who are already poor, people who don't have anything left. You know, there has to be a different alternative. And it fell on deaf ears. You know, they didn't care. They came in with the bulldozers. They you know, bulldozed people, false teeth up, their pictures, just whatever they had, it was just thrown away in the garbage. So, you know, Mike Rhodes, who was the founder of the Community Alliance, you know, he did a lot of documentaries and picture taking and what have you. But, you know what gets me about people who run for public office? So when I did all my paperwork at the election office, this lady told me, she said, now I need you to raise your right hand. I said, raise my right hand for what? She said, you need to say this pledge. I can't remember what the pledge said verbatim, but I can remember some of it. And it was saying that, you know, you're gonna serve and protect, you know, I can't remember, that was like five or six lines. But I remember it was a pledge to say that you're gonna uphold and protect, you know, yeah, birth certificates was thrown away. That's right, Kimberly. You're right. You're definitely right. And people in public office is supposed to know the Constitution. They're supposed to know human rights. They're supposed to know civil rights. And people don't put people in office to violate people's constitutional rights. But here in Fresno, that's all that's been happening for the past 20-some, 30-some years, is that you have had people in public office, the mayor office, the city manager office, the city attorney office, the police department, sanitation. You've had all those people who have violated the constitutional rights of the most vulnerable people here in the city of Fresno. And it caused death. Pam Kincaid, somehow or another, she got thrown off the balcony at the old VMC. You know, I don't know what happened, but she was one of the lead plaintiffs. It was like four or five of them. I stood on the steps of City Hall, looked in the face of Bruce Rudd, Alan Autry, the city attorneys, and the homeless community here, the plaintiff filed a lawsuit, $2.3 million lawsuit against the city of Fresno. Now, I ask you again, people who are in elected seats are supposed to protect the constitutional rights of taxpayers. Am I right or wrong about that? I mean, if I'm wrong, I really would want someone to say, you know what? You're wrong. Okay, what is why is there no picture but blackness? Oh, well, I'm not doing pictures tonight. I'm not doing pictures tonight. Who is that? Shelton. I'm not doing no pictures tonight because I went to the dentist today. And so my mouth is kind of like, you know, swole. So I don't want nobody to see me. I'm sorry. I apologize. I should have said that earlier. I apologize. I went to the dentist today. So I'm kind of, you know, mouth swollen. I don't want no one to laugh at me. But anyway, call into the show, 516-387-1474. I'm only going to go to 845 today, okay? I'm only going to go to 845 today. I'm not going to hold nobody long. But what I'm telling you is that when you run for office, you have to take this oath. You have to raise up your right hand. And you have to give this, I'm going to try to find that paper as I have it somewhere, not tonight. But I want to read this on the air so all of you would know that when people get in public office, they're supposed to serve you. They are supposed to serve your best interest. They're not supposed to be doing things to violate your human rights, your civil rights, and your constitutional rights. But here in Fresno, that's all that's been happening here in Fresno. Is that everybody's rights are being violated. And that's why as taxpayers, you have to pay for their mistakes. $2.3 million was the first lawsuit that was filed. I was the only pastor that stood with those plaintiffs, the homeless community, on the steps of Fresno City Hall here in Mississippi, Fresno. Now, why should taxpayers pay for politicians' mistakes? Why don't they pay for it? You know, you the one messed up. You the one made the decision. So why do we have to pay for your mess up? So that's where we at. And then it's costing us as taxpayers. We go to work every day, and here we are trusting people to look after our interests, to look after our children's interests, to look after our parents' interests, and they're sitting up here making all these bad decisions. And, you know, the $2.3 million lawsuit that was filed, you know, against the city. So when we say, okay, let me say this. When we say against the city, let's bring it home. It's against you because you don't want to have to pay the bill. Not the city council, not the city manager, not the mayor. You have to pay the bill. And it's wrong. I think if you take an oath like I did to run for public office and you get in office and you mess up and you cost the taxpayers money, you should pay the bill or you should go to jail, one of the two or both. Why should we have to pay the bill for people who screws up? Okay. So Fresno has willfully hurt people. Fresno has willfully went out and cost us millions and millions and millions. I'm just talking about the homeless situation. When you start talking about the police department, that's a whole nother chapter of a conversation. I think it was between 2001 and 2018, I think it was $3 million that we spent as taxpayers cleaning up Chief Dyer's mistakes. Okay? Okay? I think it was $30 million that we paid between 2001 and I think it was 2018. I can't remember the exact years. I believe it was $30 million we paid as taxpayers. Okay. So what I'm telling you is, and I'm going to get into this warming center real quick. It's only going to be on here for about at least 20 minutes. I'm not going to hold everybody long tonight because my mouth, jaw sore. But I want you to do critical thinking right now, okay? Just use your brain for once, okay? Because we have to understand the climate and the environment that we're living in right now. We have to understand that if we don't take charge of our community, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. And we have to have people in office who's going to be held accountable. I think that if elected officials make bad decisions that cost the taxpayers us money because of their decisions, I think they the ones should pay the bill. And if they don't want to pay the bill, then they should go to jail because they the one who took the oath and raised their right hand. We didn't. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Now, I want to talk about this warming center because it's interesting. The timing of the warming center. Now, you have to understand, Fresno is a very political town. It's a good old boy system here. People scratch a lot of people's back to move up, to get positions, to get jobs. You know, that's just the way Fresno is. You know, we've run over poor people. We don't care about poor people. Our churches are not engaged, they're not involved when it comes to going up against City Hall. So let's talk about this warming center for a second. Please call in to 516-387-1474, 516-387-1474. I'm not going to hold you long tonight because I've been to the dentist and I'm not feeling too hot, but I want to keep my commitment to all of you because I love all of you, and I really appreciate you taking time out just to listen to my voice. And for those of you who are supporting me for mayor, man, I love y'all from the bottom of my heart, man. I have people call me today saying, hey, you know, I want to send you some money, and, you know, where do I send it to? Our website hopefully will be up. I'm praying by morning time. I know it's being worked on right now as I speak. Our Twitter is up. Our Instagram is up. And finally, you'll be able to donate on our website as well as look at the content of our campaign. I'm going to read a little bit of this here. Not all of it, but we're talking about new warming center shelter the homeless during the coldest months of Fresno, California. Somebody called RSC Community Builders open up an emergency warming center in Fresno on December 13th. This warming center has 77 beds and house anyone looking for a place to stay. Okay. So, what I would like to talk about is, well, we have someone on the line here. Let's see who this is. We have 3366. Welcome to Fresno Residents. Tell it like it is. You're with your one and only revolutionary freedom fighter, Mayor Candidate Harris. Hello, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
All right. We're glad to have you on the show. We thank you for tuning in. I don't know what I'm going to have to do to get people to call in. Man, maybe I need to throw some money out of an airplane or something, get people to call in. But we have a lot of people on Facebook Live. That seems to be our biggest audience. A lot of people come back and they listen to the archives. We appreciate that. And, you know, I was just giving some context, some content on the history of the homeless fight we have here in Fresno. I thought it was very interesting that former Chief Dyer was at this press conference or gathering, which he was one of the main ones that was there destroying the homeless encampments under his direction of the city manager, mayor office, but yet had no compassion at the time to just watch the most vulnerable people of a city who did not have anything. I believe it was Alan Autry was the one who grandfathered to tear down the homeless encampments. And then when he termed out, Ashley Swearington came in. She kept the movement going by tearing down the homeless encampments and then turned around and made everybody started walking around the whole city like a bunch of zombies. It was terrible, terrible. And, you know, what really bothers me is that, you know, everybody want to run around here talking about their Christians and they Christian this and Christian that and this and that. And all of a sudden you're doing the opposite of what a Christian is supposed to be and supposed to do in a community. And that's to have compassion for people. You're supposed to love people, not hurt people. And that's all that's been going on in Fresno. This Mississippi town is hurting people. And so that's why we've got in the mayor race, so that we can give a voice to those who are voiceless, give hope to those who are hopeless. And we're just going to keep it real. And I'm told now that Chief Dyer, former Chief Dyer, is not going to be at the debate June 30th. Is that true?
Yeah, that's the word on the street.
I'm so hurt that our former Chief Dyer, who has more money than anybody, that's running for mayor put together, and you mean to tell me that he won't come to a debate to meet the people and debate the people who's running against him? I don't understand. I mean, he can't be scared, right? I mean, can you help me out here?
Well, I would hope he wouldn't be scared. But I also found it ironic that he was at this opening of this shelter too. But I think once again, it's a ploy to mask the real problem and the real solution. The real solution is we need to be able to afford to live in homes. And with everything going up and rents going up and landlords being and these realty agencies being sneaky and underhanded about the way they get people out of their residence or don't let them in, you know, that's still real and it still exists. And we can build shelters and that's a wonderful thing, but is that going to end homelessness? You know, because we have over 1,152 homeless people, according to the point in time count, and only 350 or so of those people are living in shelters. So what about the other 800 or so people that's still homeless, or the working poor that are homeless, or those that have jobs and, you know, it's not because they're on drugs or because they have mental health issues, but merely because they got in a bad place. Maybe they missed a check one month or missed a couple of paychecks, and it put them in a certain position where they doubled up. And our definition of homeless definitely has to expand, because it's not just the people sleeping on the street. You know, you have doubled up, you have temporary shelter. Doubled up means you're going place to place. You never really have somewhere permanent to lay your head to call your own.
Well, I know of people, and I'm not going to give their names because it's not important, but I know people who have doctor degrees right now where the title homeless because they don't have their own home, but they're sleeping on someone's couch. I know professors who are homeless, you know, sleeping on the floor of someone's home. They're not on drugs. They're not, don't have mental illness, but they're in a situation where they just cannot afford their own place. I mean, see, when you start talking about owning, renting and owning, you're talking about paying a water bill. You're talking about paying PG&E. You're talking about expense, upkeep, the grass, and et cetera, right? You know, it's very difficult to rent a home if you're just getting minimum wage. I mean, it's very difficult. I'm not saying you can't do it. It's difficult to make ends meet. Some people are doing it because they want to do it, but some people say it's too difficult. Now, listen, in Las Vegas, and we're going to bring this back home to Fresno. In Las Vegas, and I don't know if many of those who are live streaming watches my Facebook. Please go to my Facebook every day because I'm posting knowledge. I'm posting power for all of y'all. In Las Vegas, the city of Las Vegas tried to pass an ordinance that said that if anybody's sleeping on public sidewalk, that they were going to get arrested. Now, Trump in the White House, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is trying to pass legislation on a federal level to give the power to the police departments across the country to arrest those who are sleeping on the sidewalks. All right. Then we found out that the Ninth Circuit District Court told Las Vegas City Council that you cannot do that. You do not have enough adequate housing. But now you want to go and arrest people? No, they kicked it out of court. Then we found out in Las Vegas that Las Vegas have these cement tunnels that goes under the city. There are over 1,000 people living underground. Over 1,000 people. And nobody knew that. 1,000 people. They had beds. They had dressers. It looked just like a bedroom. But it was in a tunnel underground. So now you're dealing with roaches. You're dealing with red spiders. You're dealing with rats. You're dealing with all type of stuff. But people are going to live somewhere. But we can't, as a country, we cannot criminalize people because they don't have a place to stay. I mean, this is just getting ridiculous right now. This whole conversation. And here it is. We talk about America supposed to be what? The land of the free and home of the brave. Talk about America. You know, you come to America, you can do great things. Really? You mean to tell me I don't have a place to stay? And I grab a cardboard box, I sleep on the sidewalk, and here come the cops hauling me off to jail. Then I got to go to court, and if I don't go to court, then there's a bench warrant. It's going to break the bank. It's going to break every city across the country. I mean, it's cheaper to help people get housing than to arrest them. That's all I'm saying, folks. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I told Ashley Swearington when she was the mayor, I said, listen, mayor, how about I have a church, and since you want everybody off the streets, how about we let them come to my church and set up their tents, do what they got to do. You know, they're safe. The women are safe. The children are safe. You know what she told me? Ashley Swearington told me, if you do that, we'll shut your church down. We will send code enforcement out there to shut you down. This is a woman that's married to a pastor's wife telling me this. I was floored. I was dumbfounded. I was like, did she just say that?
I mean, well, yeah, I've talked to a few people who said that they had jobs and ended up losing the jobs because they were out on the streets, you know, sleeping in tents and so forth. And along with, you know, trying to find somewhere to bathe, to make sure you get to work and you're decent. They said, you know, they would come when they would do these sweeps, they take their birth certificates, they take their social security cards, IDs, and trash this. And this happened more than once, and they like, you know, that puts them behind because they already limited on resources. Now they have to go out here and replace these items, you know. And it's services here and there to get help, vouchers and so forth, but that's few and far between. You know, it's not like they just, you know, oh, you lost all your stuff, here you go, here's a voucher, you know. You have to seek out this stuff and find out who's giving it out, you know. So you brought up a point of it's cheaper to put homeless folks in some decent housing some affordable shelter or at least legal shelter than to criminalize them, because that's really what they're doing. And, you know, we had the, hosted the Poor People's Campaign statewide hearing, and it was based around homelessness, you know, and all these city officials that act like all of a sudden they developed this big heart, like Lee Brand, you know, oh, yeah, we have to do something. We have to do something about this problem, you know, and Jerry Dyer, who basically said, hey, go out there and carry out the mayor's orders on these homeless people and break, you know, the constitutional laws, you know, and rights. Now, all of a sudden, you know, is, well, we're out here, we're going to help. But nobody showed up. Nobody showed up to speak, to say, hey, let me hear what you guys, your testimonies about, you know, what's going on. And so we can develop this moral conscience that we need to really end homelessness. Homelessness can be ended, but not when it's, you know, making money for people. And it makes money for a lot of people. So, yeah, a hypocrite is what I call them.
Yeah, you was we're talking about Fresno residents tell it like it is with Mayor Candidate Harris. Fresno has many, 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 many issues, and Fresno is a good old boy system. You know, we talked about how we have you know, these issues here. You know, I like to ask a question. With this homeless piece that's going on, it's going on all across the world, but California has the, from what I'm hearing statistics, have more homeless people than any other state. I believe that's what I read. I could be wrong. What is the role of the church? Is the role of the church, and when I say church, I'm not just talking about Christian church. I'm talking about Buddhist, Islamic, you know, whatever. What is their role? Do the church, let me put it this way, and I'm talking to all of those who are on live stream too. You know, if you want to call in, 516-387-1474, this is your show to call and talk in. What is the role of the church? Do the church have a role? I mean, I was part of West Fresno Ministerial Alliance, and those ministers said, we give money to the Poverello House, and we give money to the what is it called, Poverello and whatever the other one is, and that's how we contribute. And you know, so in other words, we're going to write a check, and that's it. That's all we're going to do. Is that good enough?
No, because they basically writing a check to cover the overhead of the people who are employed there. You know, a very small percent of those dollars are going to actually remedy and help the chronically homeless.
So let me ask another question, because in San Francisco, I was so happy to see this on Facebook. I have a lot of friends down there, Uncle Bobby and, you know, Oscar Grant Foundation, Vallejo. So I'm pretty well known in the Bay Area. There was a church in San Francisco that opened up their sanctuary to let homeless people come in to get out of the cold. Is that illegal to do? There must be illegal to do. It must be illegal, because I haven't seen nobody in Fresno do it. And if I was a head pastor of a church, which I'm not a head pastor, but if I was a head pastor of a church, I would do it. I would let people come
in. Well, we need to know how much the director at the Poverello House is making, because a lot of these organizations out here that are, you know, calling themselves serving the homeless, you know, they have directors making six-figure salaries. And I'm sorry, I think if you're serving the homeless and you're helping the homeless and you walking around with a six-figure salary, that whole, you better be running a top-notch, these people coming out with housing, skills, help, whatever they need, if you're making six figures.
But I would think that, you know, and that's one of the topics of our campaign running for mayor, People say, what are you going to do for the homeless? I said, well, what are you going to do for them? You know, what I'm going to do, what are you going to do for them? You know, everybody's trying to throw the question of, what have you done? I know what I've done, but what are you going to do? So, I think that there needs to be more engagement from the religious standpoint. And I'm not talking about trying to convert people to whatever denomination you are. I'm talking about doing things on a humanity level. I'm talking about doing things from the north end to the south end to the east. I believe we have more buildings. Look at it. Look at it right now. I don't know how cold it is right now. It's probably, 40 degrees, 39 degrees outside, and we got people sitting out in tents, right? Now, I would believe that we have more empty buildings right now. Empty buildings. And when I say empty buildings, I'm talking about buildings, warehouses, and churches, religious institutions, that we could get people out of the cold. I believe that. If we wanted to. Yes, it's called sacrifice, right? Yes, it's called sacrifice. But I believe if there was a partnership built between City Hall, a partnership built with the Fresno County Board of Supervisors, to find money that we're spending to build a new jail on right now, which maybe that's why they built a new jail. They want to throw all the homeless people in there. I don't know. But my point is,
you might want to be careful throwing out your solutions and because you know what they did with the Fresno Poor People's Campaign. You know, they'll have your face all over the place, and then Esmeralda Soria be getting all the credit for all your hard work. So be careful what you give them. We might need to save that for when you become mayor.
All right. Well, anyway. Y'all see we have a plan, so she's right. I'm going to stop right there. But I just think that we as mayor, that's something that I'm very compassionate about when it comes to people. You know, I asked a person this the other day. I said, you know, if we see a dog, and I love animals. I said, now, if we see a dog. Now, they say a dog is a man's best friend. I don't know who made that up. But for conversation, if we see a dog that decides that it wants to sleep on a cardboard box on a sidewalk, do we see the Fresno Police Department going to arrest the dog? I mean, really?
No, he's going to pet the dog and pick it up in some monster.
What's the difference between a dog sleeping on a cardboard box on a sidewalk and a human being?
Yeah.
I mean, so animals, oh Lord, don't let me start talking about history because now it takes me back to the U.S. Constitution saying that black people was 3/5 of a human being equal to an animal. So then how can we say that you're 3/5 of a human being, but then all men are created equal? Somebody got to help me here. Somebody got to help me here. You can't have your cake and ice cream. Either I'm an animal or I'm created equal. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with, folks. And you know, it's 8:50. I went 5 minutes over my time. I'm going to keep my word. I just want to go through here and just thank everybody for tuning in. That's my cousin, Stanley. Love you, man. Oh, we got somebody just popped on the line. Okay. All right. Okay. You're going to keep me on here. Okay. 3260. Welcome to Fresno Residence. Tell like it is with Mayor Kennedy Harris. You just tune in. Have something you want to say?
Oh, good evening, Floyd. This is Marshawn, just checking out the show and, you know, just tuning in.
Hey, Dr. Marshawn, doctor. This is, now, you want to talk about someone with a doctor with knowledge. This brother here is sharp, man.
I'm not a doctor, man. I'm just a problem solver.
Man, I tell you, I bow to you all the time, man. I'm like, you know, when you talk, I'm like kid with candy. You know, I'm just like, man, just keep, don't stop talking. I mean, just your knowledge, you know, is just so pure. And you know, and your conversation is what we need right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's one of the things running for mayor that I'm saying, everybody has a right to be at the table. Everybody. I don't care what creed, color, everybody. And Fresno has not done that. Fresno is a good old boy system. Fresno want to handpick who they want to be at the table to go along with their program. No, I'm saying everybody has a right to be at the table. Everybody. And so someone just called. The calling number is 516-387-1474. 516-387-1474. Marshawn, you got any good news for us today? Any knowledge you want us to sleep on tonight?
Well, I just want to let those that know that's listening. You know, I'm just an average guy. You know, a mortal being. I'm not a immortal. You know, I don't want to be above anyone. I just go to, you know, I look for knowledge. Like, you know, you go to, you know, as far as the China Sea, you know, and if that's how we approach, you know, looking for knowledge and solutions to our problems, you know, in life or in the community, you know, we have to go that far to find what we're looking for and not just give up on, you know, what we see, you know, as far as in our, you know, in our foresight. You know, if we teach each other to fish, you know, we can feed many. And I think if we go back to that, we can help each other and build each other up. And then we start, you know, having, you know, these discussions, because with great minds, you know, we discuss events. You know, just like we're, you know, laying the groundwork for your campaign, you know, it starts off with a discussion and planting that seed. But, you know, people are, you know, once they see the vision, you know, then we have to get on board to support that. Like you said, you know, it's people are handpicked or planned by design because, you know, they might have connections or it might be more money. You know, that's kind of what it is. You know, money is the root of all evil. And therefore, you know, when I look at you running for mayor, I kind of say, you know, this is a guy that I know I can relate to. Because you're not someone that was born with a silver spoon, and I'm not voting for a silver spoon. You know, I'm voting for, you know, someone that goes out and plants his vegetables in the garden and picks it by hand. It's all natural. So that's what I'm voting for, someone all natural. And that's what people, you know, have to understand. You know, you're going to vote, you're going to put your vote for a silver spoon, or you're going to vote for someone that's all natural and grassroots.
Right. Wow, that's deep, man. You know, in the context of how you put that, you know, we had the meeting the other night, and I was sitting there listening to everybody. I do more listening than I do talking. And you know, when we were talking about, I think you brought it up about the silver spoon, and I was like trying to process that, and I said, wow. I said, okay, the silver spoon. Some people are just given everything, and some people have to work for it, you know, and that's where we are, you know, with the Freedom School. Our children work. We work right beside them, and when you work for something, you have more appreciation for it, you know. You take care of it, but thank you for those words, bro. I'm going to sleep good on that. I might put that in my sermon here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. It's the silver spoon. You know that silver spoon is so polished up. You know, it don't have a lick of not. It don't have a spot on it. You know, it's like, you know, it's just all, you know, when you put it in the sun and you know that light hit that silver spoon. You know, you see that reflection. But what you know, it comes down to how they taste the struggle. You know, how they, you know, went to bed with missing a meal. How they, you know, had to, you know, go through struggles and making sacrifices. They don't know what the people that they're, I mean, they say they for the people, but the connection isn't there. You know, if I know that, you know, I could say, Floyd, have you ever ate a bowl of grits? You can say, yeah, I ate a bowl of grits. Have you ate some green beans? Have you ever ate some greens? You're going to be like, yeah, I ate some greens. If I ate some cornbread, you're going to be like, yeah, we could broken bread, ate some corn. Have you ate some fried chicken? Yeah. But you know, I can say also too, you know, I've eaten some noodles, or you know, I've eaten some Chinese food. I mean, you know, it's all like a melting pot. It's all a mixture.
Right.
But you know, that silver spoon, you know, they just know, they know how to play the politics, man. And you know, I'm gonna leave it at that. You know, and that's kind of, you know, what we're voting for is those silver spoons and those false promises. And you know, that's what happens. You know, but you know, we have to economically educate ourselves first with knowledge, and then we're able to tackle this economic challenge, you know, that we have in between us, man. It's like the sea, you know, the Pacific or the Great Atlantic Ocean is just we can't part that sea, man, unless we have that knowledge. That's like Noah, you know, led them people through the Red Sea. Without that knowledge, man, we can't acquire that wealth or have that, you know, that income. You know, we can put it, just takes a dollar, man. I call it the dollar strategy. If we all put our dollars together, man, it can be $1 out of 10,000 black people in Fresno. That's $10,000 we can put the savings in and start using it to, you know, empowering a business or having our own supermarket. I think I seen something, man. I was reading on the black news. They got a black supermarket called Soul Food. Man, we ain't got nothing like that in Fresno. Soul Food.
Yep.
What do you mean? Let's everybody say, oh, let's go to Walmart. Oh, let's go to, you know, Save Mart. No, let's go to Soul Food. Where that's gonna be at? You know, man. You know, they gonna have what we want. We just can't have that, you know, because we spend our money on Nikes and, you know, what's that, Popeye's chicken sandwiches. You know, we glorify that stuff, but we don't glorify, you know, keeping our dollars, you know, amongst ourselves and, you know, and having our own economical powerhouse or engine. But other than that, man, you know, I think I commend you on what you're doing. You know, you put your feet to the ground, your ear to the ground, keep it moving. And, you know, we can't keep complaining, man, about, you know, that man in the sky talking about we can't get fed when we don't, you know, have no faith and walk by faith and not by sight.
That's right. That's right. That's right. There's our man right there. I call his brother the brains. Everybody around me, I always call him. I say, you guys are the brains of the operation. Because, you know, I use a metaphor of a train. You know, if you ever look at a train has, is long, and it has the motors in the back, and the driver sits in the front. And I tell the folks with me, I said, you guys are the engine, the brains. I'm just the driver. Well, man, that's good. We appreciate that. But, you know, we're going to get the caller 8305. But, you know, he was talking about the dollar, the black dollar. The black dollar has a lot of power in it. If we just really understand that, if we can keep those black dollars and invest it in our community, like Black Wall Street, the dollar circulated 12, 13 times before it left the community. So you have to look at what's happening. And I'm not upset at them. I'm not upset at the Hmongs. I'm not upset at the Hispanics. But we have to understand that, you know, they're owning shopping centers right now out on Kings Canyon and Willow. You know, they're owning grocery stores. And when you go in there, look who's patronizing them. Their people. Now, they're not going to say, black folks, you cannot come into our Hmong grocery store. Yeah, you can come in and spend your money. But understand that this store was built for our people. You see what I'm saying? So what happens is that the farmers, all those produce that's in there, they have their Hmong farmers out there farming that land, right? So every seed that they put in the ground, that's money. Okay, that's money. And when it's time to harvest, they harvest and ship it to the grocery store. And their people come by. So it's a recycle over and over. And then they're building wealth in their community. So that's what he was saying. And that's what Black Wall Street did when they had their own grocery store. They had their own movie theaters. They had their own shoe shine. They had their own churches. They had their own everything. 36 blocks of blackness. I don't even think we have a block, do we? Maybe we got a block. I don't know. But I'm just saying, it was 36 blocks of black businesses that was burnt down to the ground. 36 communities built across America, all burnt to the ground. So nothing was passed down to us today. So we have to start all over again. You know what I'm saying? So that's what our brother was saying there. We're going to go to caller 8305. 8305, welcome to Friends of Residence. Tell it like it is with Mayor Candidate Harris.
Hello.
Hey, my sister. How are you?
I'm well, a little tired. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so I had two comments. One was about the dog sleeping on the cardboard box. Do you know that you could call the Humane Society and they would pick that little fella up and put him in a shelter? He'd probably be better off and warmer and fed better than a human being, because it seems like the human rights people and the people that care about animals are more unified and have a collective voice to where they get things done. So you could call somebody in there and see about that dog. They won't see about a human being laying on a cardboard box on the sidewalk, but they'll send them to jail, and then they'll kick them out, probably won't even feed them. And these people probably have mental health issues and other issues that they need to be triaged so they can get the help that they need on the first contact, rather than to run a bill up, sending them back and forth to jail and having taxpayers pay for it, when that's not the solution to anything. And if I'm going to pay for something, let me pick and choose what I want to pay for. I'd rather pay for them to get a medical exam than a prison record, but that's me. And I think we should have a choice on taxpayers' dollars and how they're spent, since they take them from us anyway. They shouldn't be able to just put them wherever they want to put them. Secondly, the church to me today, if you have a family, most churches are made up of families. And if you have a big family, then you may have a big membership, and you may have a big congregation, and you may have a prominent church because of the families that's in the church. But if you have a community church that's trying to build a church, and you come from one or two families, or your family's not big or not well known, you may not even have a membership. Secondly, the church is not doing what the church was built to do, which is reach back out to the community to build up the community and give them a hand. We didn't say they needed a hand out. They need a hand. They need to know where hope is, where love is. Why do I believe in the church, in the building, and even going to it? And you get that by when you walk through the door, how they greet you when you come through the door. It's really, really sad. We have empty churches. So with the empty churches, you sure could put some homeless people in there. Ain't nobody else in there. So I don't understand why the homeless people can't come. And even if they can't spend the night, maybe you could feed them in the morning. It's something you could do. But they won't allow us to, because they know once you give people hope, they see a light. The lights start coming on. They want us to stay in the dark, in darkness, in gloom and doom. That's what Fresno, Mississippi Fresno, as my mayor, Reverend Hare, calls it, Mississippi Fresno. That's how they want to keep us. They want to keep us bound. But my God said that shall not be so. And the more people that know, the more radio shows we have, the more people that's out on the pavement, that's voting for things that's right, like Mayor Harris in March, and voting for things that's going to make a difference, we can make a difference. And even though we're small, we could be mighty if we ever come together. That $1 can do a lot, especially when more than one person puts it together. We just need to put our money in a pot and start saving, start accumulating, and then get a vision board. Write the vision. Make it plain. If we have faith that's as big as a mustard seed, we can ask anything. And if it's in God's will, it shall be done. And he said that I shall prosper. He said I shall have whatever I ask for, if it's in his will. So I will that the people be saved, that they be blessed, that they come out of the darkness. And it shall be done in Jesus' name, y'all. Okay, I think I'm done.
All right. Our sister's on fire tonight.
Message. Man, that's fire right there. That's the
fire, man. See, that's what we need. We need new ideas. We need new approaches. We need new fire, you know. And that's what I hear tonight, you know. And just asking people to call in and just talk to us. You know, I mean, how can we know what the need is if we don't talk, if we don't conversate, if we don't have a conversation? And that's one of the things that I keep telling the people about this mayor race, is that we have to have a conversation. We have to talk. You know, I mean, we have to learn how to agree to disagree and not fall out and grab a gun, a 2x4 or a gun. Or, I mean, one has to listen. One has to talk. I mean, you know, people, for whatever reason, people call me radical and I don't know, all these different type of names. But why just can't be passionate? You know, I mean, we use these labels. People, I think, in sometimes negative ways, to try to discredit them. But what is the person who is hurting people? Do we call them radical? So we have to have aggressive, wise, disciplined, so that we can be able to bring this community together. I really believe Fresno could be the model of the whole United States. I really believe that. I really do. But it's going to take conversations to make that happen. Real conversations.
Yeah. Tear down those stereotypes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a businessman. You know, I hear you talk a lot about, you know, the dollar and how we can invest. Can you talk to us a little bit about that, if you will, if you feel like about just something simple investment that we could do as black people or people or whatever?
Man, you just lit a fire right now. You just lit another fire when you talk
about,
I'm
putting,
you know,
man, I'm putting kerosene on it, man. I'm putting kerosene, gasoline, and everything else on it, man.
You know, man, you put some gasoline on that one.
Call
so, what you got to look at, man, we got to stop being consumers. You know, we got to start being investors, because the consumer don't think. They don't have the conscience to say, you know, let me save. Like, look at the wealthiest people in the world. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook CEO. Look at the guy that owns Amazon. You know, that guy, what's his name, Jeff Bezos, Microsoft, Bill Gates, all their wealth. Guess where all their wealth is at? It's not sitting in Bank of America. It's not sitting in Citi. It's not sitting in Chase Bank. It is in stocks, bonds, company stocks. The wealthiest people, even the other guy, Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, all their wealth is in stocks. So we have to look at, if we can buy some Nike shoes, that's just material. Those shoes only going to last so long until the soles wear out, to the nylon or whatever going to tear. And then it's made in Taiwan, which is cheap labor for 15 cents an hour, but we're going to spend 150 on a Nike or on some Jordans or 200 on Penny Hardaway. If we can take that same money we can buy for a Nike shoe and buy a stock, whether it be Reebok, Nike, Walgreens that's on every corner. I mean, start saving your money in an IRA. You know, it's like an egg. It's like a self-directed IRA. It doesn't cost you any, but you own it. You know, we got to own our investments. We got to own our real estate. It's the 10 principles of wealth. You know, if you have any questions about the 10 principles of wealth, I mean, I have it on our website. You know, you can call. You can get my information from, go to mkgfinancialgroup.com, and I'll give you a template on 10 principles of wealth. You know, we start investing into the 10 principles of wealth, and it don't take, man, I start off, you know what, I invest every month, and then over time I got hundreds of dollars in my investment, $25 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. That's like 90, 60, 70, 80-some cents a day. That's what I start off with. That's a budget. And if you don't got that, start off with $5. Don't go to Acorns. You know, open up your IRA or an investment account where, you know, if you don't know how to invest, then, you know, go with to somebody that will show you as a group. Put it into a pot or a pool, but stop being a consumer. You know, if we stop being consumers and start being investors, you know, we can buy real estate, and then, you know, lease it out to ourselves, you know, own our own real estate and our own property, because that's, you know, that's where all the wealth is at, in real estate and in stocks and bonds.
Exactly. And you know what? I heard you guys say something earlier. I just wanted to say this too. You know, anybody could be homeless. You know, I think about how I scuffle and hustle, and I work three jobs, and I'm renting from someone else. But today I have a mindset to own. So since I've changed the way I think about my money, I could do something different with it. But I didn't think about that soon enough or early enough. But I could be one paycheck away from homelessness. I could be one illness. You could get sick and miss too many days of work and become homeless. And ain't nothing wrong with me today, but who's to say what can happen? So we have to put our money to where it could work for us in case we ain't able to work. You understand what I'm saying? So today I think different. Today I think different about my money, finances, and how I'm working for money. But one day I want my money to work for me, and that's what he's talking about. Is your name Marshawn?
Yep. That's called that passive income.
Okay, yeah,
Marshawn. Right,
it's saying let your money work for you. And us as black people, we don't – all of us don't think like that. Now, I see some younger black people, and they may have got their money illegally in the day, younger in the day, back in the day, but now their money is making money, and they turned it into legal money, and they're doing the right things with it. And God bless them, because I don't care where it comes from. Once you turn that corner and you start doing the right thing, white folks do it all day long. They done took all kind of crooked money and turned it into something else. Money laundering, money washing. I ain't really trying to put nobody business out there, but I'm just saying. So once you know better, you do better. So we need some classes. Maybe we need to get Marshawn and have him come and give a class to people that's interested in thinking different, because if you don't think different about your money, you're not going to do nothing different with it. It starts with your thinking, your mindset. And like he said, as long as we're consumers, we run into all these people's store, buying these people's stuff that we really don't need. You know, if you got one pair of shoes, wear them till they fall off and get you another one. That's what white folks do. They go to the thrift store and buy their shoes. We got to go to Macy's, because I don't know what's wrong with that. But I don't go to Macy's. Macy's ain't got a shoe I need. I could go to Payless. Anyway, we just need to start thinking different and doing different with our money so we can have a different outcome. I get tired of us crying about what white folks did, what this one did. Ain't nobody did nothing to me today, because I don't claim that. Anything happened to me today, I did it myself. And what I'm going to do is change it and make it different. My outcome is going to be what I say it's going to be. And I'm not going to allow anybody else to write my story. Yeah, I think
that's right. Well, if you guys want to start off with just educational wise, I got a lot of YouTube videos for education. You don't got to go and have time to go sit down in a seminar. Just YouTube it. Just YouTube my name. You're going to find a lot of stuff I've already put out there. YouTube our company, you know, Fresno Investment Advisors. It's going to bring up pretty much Marshawn or my company. Or, you know, I'm like I say, you can just start off with just the information and the knowledge. You know, my ideas
are
not going to always fit with the next person's idea or mode, but if you take a dollar a day and you save it, you'll be surprised on how you can generate wealth if you invest it into the right company. Don't go out and, I'm saying, buying 100 stocks. Stick to your 20 and under list, you know, and if you invest, you can go buy right now a Google stock for $1. People not knowing that you ain't got to have $2,000 to own that Google stock. It's called fractional shares. You can buy some stocks for $1, but that shoe, that necklace, that Benz, that Mercedes Benz, or you know that FUBU jacket, whatever it is that you know, Toast a Boat. That's more important. That Xbox game. I mean, that's where all the money is being spent as consumers. You know, I mean, if I'm, you know, people don't have a lot of trust. So if I'm saying take a dollar, $30 a month, that to me, if I'm gonna be a thief, I'm not gonna rob someone for $30. And if I can show you a return on your investment for $30, to me, that's what you got to lose, $30. But other than that, I'll turn it over to Floyd. It's his show. If someone else wants to talk, by all means, you can talk. If you, you know, want to take it up on a discussion on another day, we will. But we really want to vote for the right people, like I say, not for the people with silver spoons, but for people that are all natural and got their ear to the ground and got grassroots, you know, backbones with them.
Well, you know, the business piece, I think that, you know, you said that, you know, black people, we're the biggest consumers, right? But it's like, are we the biggest owners, right? And I know in history that our ancestors did own things and was stolen from them. Land, you know, in Mississippi, I was doing research that shows that, you know, after slavery, our people, our ancestors inherited land. They bought land. And the USDA, you know, they went to them for loans, and they denied them loans, you know. And
red
because
line.
They would deny loans, red line, that's right, they couldn't pay the taxes, and it came up in tax default. And the same people who which we can say were plantation owners, went and purchased the land because they did not give them the loan. And those of our ancestors who stayed in Mississippi to fight, then the Ku Klux Klan went in to scare them or to kill them off. So, you know, it's not that black people, we are a lazy race of people. There's things that has happened to us in our history that has not been right, but now it's a new day, and you know, and it's a new way. So we have to have the consensus, the knowledge, the discipline, the transparency, and to have the conversation to understand that. Listen, so let's take something simple here. So let's say we found a corner lot. And like Brother Marshawn is saying, you know, let's invest our money. If it's $20, $30, $50, whatever it is, right? And we do that for a whole year and see what we have at the end of the year. Then we can go purchase us some land, right? Then we say, well, what can you do with the land? Well, we can open up a tire shop. Why? Because black people drive cars. I don't even know, maybe Brother Marshawn know, I don't even think we have a black tire shop here in Fresno. I don't think we do.
Nope.
And that's just on a real small level, right? A tire shop. But a tire shop brings in revenue. It brings in money. Now, you say, well, how you figure that, Harris? Well, on Sunday, just drive by black churches and see how many cars are around there. I mean, they're getting their tires fixed somewhere, right? So I just think that we have to figure out how to be able to strategically figure out do for self or be a slave, and how can we take our dollar and invest it in us and into our community so that we can bring wealth, so that we can buy more land, more property, more whatever. That's just what the Hmongs are doing out there on Kings Canyon, you know, bought the whole shopping center.
Man, I'm gonna add something to that, Floyd.
Yes,
we got to go beyond Fresno. We got to be able to reach black communities in Texas. We got to be able to reach black communities and black folks in Atlanta that have the mindset that's open-minded to say, you know what, even if I invest my dollar, it's going to go towards a black business or a black, you know, real estate company. You know, that's why I have my own, we have our own black crowdfunding website. Just like people go to GoFundMe, people go to Kickstarters, we have so many opportunities on our crowdfunding website. It's real estate. You can invest into becoming a auto dealership where we can go and buy us our own auto dealership land and have our own auto car, auto finance. We can do black businesses, whether it's a group home, nursing home, whatever it might be. Those are opportunities on our website that people can invest in for less than $100. However, if you don't know what's out there and have the knowledge, you know, you're in the dark again. Wow. And people in Fresno are sleeping on that all day. So I don't stay within Fresno city limits. My even overseas, I'm going to Europe, Canada. Right now, my mission right now is to open up a business in Africa. You know, that's where I'm going right now, to the motherland.
I want to go too.
You know, because it's like
you, Mark,
when I, because Africa, the African bank, they look like me, they talk like me. Shoot, if I go in there, they right behind, they, you know that they. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, because these other banks are going to deny me when they look at me when I come to the door, just because, you know, my skin color. But anyways, if you wanted to go to our crowdfunding website, just go to Fresno Crowdfunding portal or go to MKG Enterprises Corp -client.com or just look it up on YouTube, and, you know, the opportunities are there. But I'm going past Fresno. I'm going past the United States. I have my own mission, and if I got to go back to the motherland where it all started in Africa, then I will go to Africa to, you know, Africa is welcoming entrepreneurs over there.
So what do you think about, like, you know, I like doing things small. I mean, why is it that five of us can't get together one Saturday morning or evening and just, you know, shoot the breeze and just, you know, try to bounce? I mean, it seems like you have the blueprint already, and, you know, you just need some students around you to listen, and then we can start building right there.
It's not a problem, Floyd. It's just at the end of the meeting or end of the discussion, if I said, hey, Floyd, how about you go online and open up your own account? That it's like me having my own bank account, my own bank. And if I say you have your own login, you can view your account statements, your activities, your investment, what you put your dollar in. No one else can log in. It's like you logging into your own bank. And you still say, you know what, let me think about it. Let me come back to you on that. Or I say, here's another example where you can own some stocks, and I send you an email where you sign up and have your own account, your own login to buy that Tesla, that Google stock, and you say, well, you know, let me think about it. You know, I say, here's another opportunity where you can own a part of, like, you know, instead of a tire shop, you can invest into a car dealership or invest into some real estate. You're going to say, oh, let me think about it. So, you know, we always become these procrastinators, you know, then the action takers. Even if the opportunity is before us, opportunity comes when, you know, success meets. You know, they're like, you know, when they come together at the same time, you know, you don't wait for opportunity to come around again. You take that opportunity, and you know that's what happens. When opportunity comes, opportunity goes. So these are opportunities that are there. And if you look through your due diligence.
I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. So our brother just gave us some knowledge tonight. He has told us how we can invest. He has credibility. I trust him as a brother. And first thing tomorrow morning, I'm gonna call him, and I'm gonna say, "Here's my money, and I want to invest it." So I'm gonna do the trial.
You won't just give me your cash. You're going to say, you know, sign up online, and you're going to wire transfer that into your own account, that we have it as a collective where we have buying power, or, you know, you can put it into an IRA, which you can buy gold, precious metal. You can buy real estate. You can even loan that money, or you can buy into stocks, or you can invest into a company through crowdfunding. There's three avenues that I've set up for people.
There you go. So we shouldn't have
any. If you want to buy some gold, you can have it shipped from the U.S. Mint Department. You ain't got to know. You can have your silver coin shipped to you, your gold bullion shipped to you from the U.S. Mint.
There we go. Well, all I can say is this. Tomorrow, I'll start my investment.
Like I said, $25 a month is what I'm telling people to start off with as a small budget, And if your money grows and you see you got a return on your investment, you know, and every morning I email you saying your stock or your portfolio went down 2%, went up 2%, went up 5%, there is no broker fee, there is no commission. You know, if something is dipping more than 5%, we're going to sell and buy something different. I mean, that's the way it works. I can only do this for 15 people until I pass my test to get my investment license. So after that, they will only allow me to do this for 15 people for us to have our own money to buy stocks as a collective. But after that, once I get my license, when, you know, we can, or whoever wants to have to get the license, you know, I can give you the information to take your test to help manage people's money and give you the education. You know, I got a discount code through Kaplan College. You know, type in MKG, you're going to get a 5% discount on any educational course you buy. But if you want to, you know, it's only limited to 15 people. After that, you know, that's that we locking it down. That's only for buying stocks. But the other investments are wide open, up to 100 people. After that, we locking it down.
That's Black Wall Street.
Well, it's almost like in Revelations, man. You have the 144 chosen people, 144,000 chosen. We only got 15 chosen, and then we have another 100 chosen. After that, then that's it. You know, we can't save everyone. We only can save the chosen few.
Right. Got it. Well, listen here. We're at the show here. We've had a hot show tonight. And Fresno residents tell it like it is with Mayor Candidate Harris. We getting gearing up for March 3rd election night. This year is different. You can register all the way up until March 3rd, even the day of election, you can register and vote. And so, you know, we're hitting the pavement. Like I said earlier in the show, we have a great campaign team, a lot of dedicated people. And I just say thank you to all of them because they don't have to do it. I believe in them. They believe in me. And like I tell people, you know, we have heart, we have compassion, we have love. And, you know, we want to see everyone do good. We want everyone to have money. We want everyone to be successful. But in order to do that, it takes some work. It takes some team effort. You know, it takes some putting some skin in the game. And I know as Black people, some of us have a hard time trusting one another. But like our brother said, we have to step out on faith. And I believe our ancestors did it. We can do it. You know, our ancestors didn't have laptops. They didn't have iPhones. They didn't have iPads. They didn't have Google. They didn't have desktop computers. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have Twitter. But look what all they – look at what they built, you know. They built cities. Not one. They built over 30 cities after slavery. So we have no excuse, folks and family. And so, you know, I just want to, again, thank everybody. All of those who are on the line, I mean, we have close to over 100 people on the live stream right now. Thanks, Sister Crystal and Brother Marshawn and Sister Maria. I want to thank Young for tuning in, Christine for tuning in, Asia for tuning in, Kimberly, thank you, Nita, thank you, Carruthers, thank you for tuning in tonight. We also have Crystal. Thank you, family. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Brandy. Appreciate you, Francis. Appreciate you, Linda. Appreciate you, Ozell, Mount Pleasant. Thank you for tuning in. Ray, Victoria, Miss Davis. Thank you. Good speaking to you today, Wilson. Nellum, thank you for tuning in. Maxwell, thank you. Sherry, good to see you. Thank you for tuning in. Sweet, thank you for tuning in. Shelton, thank you for tuning in. Maria, thank you once again. Maxwell, thank you. Appreciate your support. Kimberly, appreciate your support. Pamela, thank you. Lisa, thank you. Bradford, Coach Harris at Edison, thank you, my brother. Keep working with those young men over there. Coleman, thank you. Jason, thank you for tuning in. McCoy, Sharon, thank you, and Eddie. So there we have it. We have acknowledged everybody tonight. And we're going to say goodnight to everybody. Tune in tomorrow for Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We'll be throwing it down. We'll be talking, have some hot topics going around the table. Hope everybody have a blessed night, safe night. And we're going to go ahead and say goodnight. Peace and love to everyone. As Bob Marley say, one love.